Greetings. Welcome to Film Gazers, a podcast focusing on the science fiction, horror, fantasy trinity, and 20th century entertainment. I'm Steph.
I'm Jess. We're cousins slash besties. Join us as we reminisce, discuss, and review films from our childhood.
Meowdy.
Meowdy.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
We are in December. We had a mini-sode on the last air date Tuesday, and so we haven't been sitting down for a full episode in, I think, like 3 weeks or so, huh?
Probably.
Yeah.
We wanted the mini-sode to satiate you.
Yes, and then that way we still had our other releases kind of coinciding with the holidays a little more.
And that way it wasn't just two episodes for the long month.
The long month of December. So, what have you been watching? What have you been doing?
Me and my mom started Squid Games Season 3 last night.
Oh, so it's a whole, there's a third season.
There is.
Oh.
Did you watch the second season?
I did not.
Okay.
I was kind of watched the first and I was like, that's all I need to see.
That's what I thought too. And then the second season, I was kind of like.
I remember you being underwhelmed. Yeah.
Yeah. But then when this one, I guess because I didn't realize that they were coming out with a third season that quickly.
Oh.
So we had just watched the second season, I feel like, not that long ago, me and Mom, so.
I remember you telling me.
Yeah.
I don't remember about time.
So I was getting into it.
Oh, nice.
And then a lot of people died that I was like, oh, man.
Yeah. Nature of the Squid Games.
Yeah. So we watched the first two episodes last night.
Nice.
And then I watched Christmas with the Cranks.
Yeah.
And then besides that, I'm still going through Supernatural. I'd taken a break for a while.
Yeah.
But then I saw on Netflix, they're getting rid of it December 17th. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah. So getting it while you can.
Exactly. But it's still one that you have to pay attention to.
Yes. That was why I kind of quit watching it. Because I think I had watched the first like two seasons, maybe. And I realized it was a little more plot, like, involved.
Right.
Like, I thought the earlier stuff, especially when I was getting into it, I thought it was going to be way more episodic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, X-Files or
right.
even, like, a Star Trek TNG, you know, like, where it doesn't have anything to do with kind of an overarching plot.
Yeah. And I think it has phases of that.
And
throughout.
It did in the first two seasons. But then it was, like, some of the more bigger stuff started.
Mm-hmm.
More bigger. I don't know. Whatever.
More bigger.
The more bigger stuff started happening. And at the time, I just don't think I was able to focus. You know, I was like, I can't focus on this. This isn't, like, bullshit background stuff
yeah,
that I don't
exactly.
have to necessarily 100%
pay attention
to.
So, yeah, so that's not one that I can put on while I'm sleepy, because then I'll just fall asleep and be like, oh, where did I leave off?
Where's Sam and Dean?
Yeah, where's Sam and Dean now? Where I fell asleep? Who's dead now? Because they die a lot. And then besides that, so, like, my fall asleep show has been Hell's Kitchen. Yet again.
Oh,
there's still seasons I haven't seen.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't finish Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, okay. I thought you finished it.
No,
I
got
like,
about
damn.
Halfway through.
Yeah.
And then I stopped. I didn't watch any of, like, the newer seasons. So
we had to finally
finish. I guess I'm just going to start going through the newer seasons.
A lot of the Kitchen Nightmares.
I finished all of those.
We didn't do all of the, like, the UK ones.
We saw
a couple of episodes of those, but we had did the American one. I do kind of miss Gordon Ramsay after he gets.
You get, like, Gordon Ramsay withdrawals.
Yeah.
I miss seeing his little face and accent.
I know. And his very abrupt hand talking.
Yes.
And he points very strongly.
Amazing. Delicious.
Yeah. Karate chop. Karate chop. Other than that, you guys have been sick, too.
We've been sick.
Seasonal colds.
Yes. Head cold, sinus bullshit. And then also, we had to go to Gainesville and back in a day.
Yeah.
So that was like 5 hours.
Was that the heart checkup?
Yeah, it was
for Mr. Man.
Dave goes to a heart specialist there, and we just didn't want to have to get a hotel and all that, so we just got up at 2:30 in the morning. So then we did that, and we drove 5 hours straight home. I mean, really bad gas station food.
We've done that on a trip to Orlando and did like 16 mm-hmm. hours yeah. in a day, basically.
I mean, we did it before when we went mm-hmm. to Huntsville.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done a whole, when we went to Cathedral Caverns up near that area, too. Yeah. I think it's even further than Huntsville.
Yeah, they're
nice. I think we drove like 13 hours, mm-hmm. 14 hours that day. Like, but it was awesome. Like,
sometimes
it was
it's
so
just
cool.
good just to be in your own bed.
I like road tripping, too, to an extent. Like, when it's like a day drive like that, and I'm doing something cool, but it's not... It's something cool enough to where you wouldn't be spending, like, 8 hours doing it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I don't mind necessarily driving, yeah, like, 8 hours to go do something for four and then immediately leaving and driving mm-hmm. back and not doing, yeah, like, so the whole hotel stay and
yeah.
that, like... Yeah, so we started season 3 of The Expanse now.
Okay.
Oh, still so fucking good. Mm. I highly recommend it. Like, I think even your mom, like, maybe even a show you and your mom would watch.
Okay.
Like, it is that good. I just really love it. Without spoiling anything, I will just say, now that I'm in season 3, Amos is definitely my favorite character.
Okay.
And I think, I don't know for a sci-fi show if that's, like, because he's kind of the... gruff personality and that, like, he has no qualms killing people and, like,
right,
like, and he's like an engineer guy, but he's like not the main guy or anything, but there's just something about him where I'm like, I love his character. And all the others can be like a little too self-righteous, or, you know, like they have these certain character traits where you're like, ugh, sometimes, but like Amos never lets me down.
Like, he always says and does exactly
what, well, and what you expect, like, I guess, like, he is, like, supposed to be a person
what
where...
What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Look, I appreciate that in a person.
I do, exactly. after and around Thanksgiving, after we did our Willow episode, Andrew and I went kind of, like, on a little 80s, like, kind of classic comedy binge.
Mm-hmm.
We did Spies Like Us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we did The Man with Two Brains with Steve Martin. Totally bonkers. I forgot. I grew up watching that movie. And then watching it as an adult, I'm like, why was I allowed to watch this as a child? But it's just, they're so ridiculous.
I don't remember that one at all.
Yeah, it's Kathleen Turner mm-hmm. is in it. He's like a brain, and it's like, yeah, she's like, Amarillo, or whatever, like, he says, like, their words.
Oh, I know, like, I saw, like, was it a trailer?
Maybe. But it's real cheesy. Uncle Buck was another we did.
Mm,
I love that one.
So
yeah,
that
it was still really cute. And it's like a John Hughes film, mm-hmm. and I'm just really partial to John Hughes.
And John Hughes.
Yeah. I also finally watched, I had kind of stayed in our category a little bit, too, with the, like, Fellowship and Fantasy when it was still November. So I watched Inkheart with Brendan Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
I had never seen it, and it was very cute.
Yeah, I really
like
that one.
I thought it was a great family film. I saw it got a lot of, like, kind of negative reviews, and I was like, it was fine.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know why. Like, the acting was fine.
Yeah, everyone didn't like Gollum. Andy Serkis. That's his last name.
Oh, who was he in it?
He was the bad guy.
I don't really remember him being the bad
guy.
Yeah,
with the shaved head. Someone was like, why did they shave his head? Or something. It was, like, one of the complaints.
What does that
do? I thought it was very funny. We also watched a couple of, like, the 2000s bro comedies. So we did Old School and Wedding Crashers.
Mm.
And,
yeah, Wedding Crashers did not hold up as well
as
I
not, like,
remember
it. It's like a bro romance comedy.
Yeah.
Because, like, the guys are, like, actually falling in love with the girls
right.
they've been kind of tricking. But, like, it's way too long. It's, like, 2 hours.
Is it?
Yeah. For Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn, that's entirely too much
right.
screen time. Like, too much. And then Old School also was the same, where Will Ferrell is, like, the shining little gem of the
right.
film.
But he's not even in it that much, is he?
I mean, he's in it quite a bit still,
okay.
but he's not the lead, you know.
Right.
It mainly is Vince Vaughn and Luke Wilson.
That's
yeah,
funny.
Yeah.
The Wilson brothers.
Yes, the Wilson brothers. They were very big in that genre.
Yes, they were.
So they were fine. I have to say, Wedding Crashers, I probably wouldn't watch for another good bout, because I hadn't watched it in a long time again either.
Mm-hmm.
Old School, like I said, I feel like what the Will Ferrell character is called Frank the Tank. And so my review, though, was like, Frank the Tank walked so Gator could run for his character Gator
oh.
that he does later with was like, get it on play, no fools. Like, that was stuff. Like, I feel like that was the, like, basis of
preemptive
what, yeah.
Gator.
Yep. And then I have only watched, besides Christmas with the Cranks, I watched Jingle All the Way.
Mm-hmm.
We did that. I made hot chocolate cookies.
Nice.
Made Jingle All the Way. It was kind of nice. And then a, like, Hallmark cheesy one called Snowy with a Chance of Christmas. And it was real bad. The guy was pretty insufferable. Like, and it's, it felt like it should have been just, like, a Christian kind of Christmas movie. Like, this is the point of the season or whatever.
Right.
But it doesn't do that. Like, it was trying its hardest, like, not to be blatantly Christian. But it made his conviction and self-righteousness just kind of confusing without the Christianity. Like, it's
You're
almost
like
why
are you,
are you being a dick, dude?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It was, I forget people, like, seriously watch those sometimes because they can just be so off-putting, like,
yeah,
with some of the people, you know, where you're like, ugh, like, ugh, no thanks. Don't want anything to do with any of that. I would not want to live in that town. I don't want to know those people. Like, doesn't seem as nice as everyone,
right,
like, makes them out to be. Blech. And then our business has really been taking off, guys. Laser face engraving. Our Etsy is really doing well with the Christmas season. We've had a lot of orders, like, consistently every day. So most of my time has been going to that. Got my 5 to 9 after my 9 to 5.
Nice. Congrats. I'm very
Thank
happy
you.
That your business is doing well.
We're very happy, too. But I will say it's making it to where my Christmas season has been just kind of tunnel vision,
yeah,
to just making other
surprises.
People's presents. So I'm kind of an elf this year.
Nice. I have not had very much Christmas spirit. The only Christmas movie I watched was that Merry Xmas with Alicia Silverstone.
Mm, how was that?
It was okay.
Yeah.
It was very average
Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cute, but I already kind of forgot most of it.
Well, I mean, I guess it just is right in tune with this month's theme, War
on Christmas.
Christmas! Our most hated Christmas films. And apparently some of the only few we'll watch this year.
Exactly. That's why I was like, I guess we're torturing ourselves this year.
So today's episode, Christmas with the Cranks, which was Jessica's pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say after watching it this time with a reviewer lens, we'll have fun talking about it today. My pick was Miracle on 34th Street.
Yes.
The 94 one that came out when we were children. I liked Matilda just fine, and I liked her in, like, Mrs. Doubtfire. I don't really have an issue with the actress, but I just did not like her in this movie. I don't even remember the full plot, to be honest. It's been that long. I just remember I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to watch it. And every time it came on TV, I'm like, no thanks. So we'll get into that on the next episode. And remember, in January, with the new year, we have our tried and true favorite theme for every January forever.
Thus far.
And this one is, Are You There, Aliens? It's us.
Film gazers.
Have you thought about your alien pick yet?
I have not.
I've thought of mine.
What is it?
I want to do Signs.
Oh, okay. That's
do a little
good one.
Lim Night Shyamalama Ding Dong.
Ooh, okay. Signs. I'll have to think more about it because
yeah.
I was like, that makes me want to do, like, what is it? Encounters of the Third Kind or something?
Close Encounters of the Third
yeah.
Kind. Yeah, with Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of
makes
his
little potato thing.
Yeah, because that's literally the only thing I remember it from it.
It's the only thing
I remember
from it, too.
I was like,
oh, and, like, the lights, the kind of the big ship
yeah,
and the lights.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm like, is it as boring as I remember it being? But I don't know if I want to pick that one yet.
Yeah. And that one, it's funny because we did the Spielberg minisode, and neither
yeah.
one of us chose that.
Yeah, no, because it was not definitely a favorite for me.
Oh, that's funny.
So let me think of it. Let me think
of
it.
Oh, and then,
bit.
I mean, Spielberg also did E.T., which we didn't mention
mm-hmm.
in the other one, which I feel like is a classic. Still wasn't one of my favorites out of some of the others.
Yeah, it wasn't my favorite either, but I was really young when
mm-hmm.
I watched that
exactly,
one.
Exactly, yeah.
I guess because I never really, like, to me, E.T. wasn't, like, something I wanted in my bedroom. Like, I didn't think he was cute.
<You're> like,
he was
no
a freaky
thanks.
Little alien, and I didn't want no parts of that.
See, I would have preferred Harry and the Henderson situation.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a little more of my, like,
he was, like,
creature companion.
Yeah,
like,
big sloppy monsters.
You're right. When you're right, you're right. Well, that's enough of the catching up, I suppose. In this episode, we watched 2004's Christmas with the Cranks. It was directed by Joe Roth. The screenplay was by Chris Columbus, based on Skipping Christmas by John Grisham.
Oh.
Yeah. Produced by Michael Barnathan, Chris Columbus, and Mark Radcliffe. It was starring Tim Allen, Jamie Lee Curtis, Dan Aykroyd, Eric Persullivan, Cheech Marin, Jake Busey, and M. Emmett Walsh. Cinematography was by Don Burgess. Edited by Nick Moore. Music by John Debney. The running time, 98 minutes.
Perfect.
Normal, at least. Kind of still felt too long, though.
Oh, yeah, it did.
The budget was $60 million, and the box office was 96.6.
That is very surprising
yeah.
to me.
Yeah. But you're going to find out why with the fun facts. Just to point out, the director, Chris Columbus, is that Chris Columbus of Home Alone, Harry Potter, Mrs. Doubtfire, and Adventures in Babysitting fame.
I'm disappointed in you.
I know, because those were his... Now, that's what he directed. He did a lot of writing as well. But I noticed what he wrote was a Little Nemo in Dreamland, which I always loved. And then The Goonies, like, he wrote that. So I feel like already that was the problem, was that this one wasn't child-like starring and related. You know, this was about this, you know, middle-aged couple or whatever. And he's good at directing children.
Yeah.
And, you know, things like that. Like, that's how... That's why Home Alone was so good. You know, how he directed Macaulay Culkin. And Macaulay Culkin was great. But, you know. So, according to the director, Joe Roth, both he and Chris Columbus had purchased the rights to John Grisham's novel, Skipping Christmas. Right around the same time. I didn't know they could do... How would they both be able to do that at the same time? Can you get multiple rights to something like that?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Anyway... So Columbus had already written the script and called Roth, and Roth thought Columbus was going to be like, hey, I'm directing this film. Like, you know, like, but it wasn't the case at all. Columbus wanted Roth to direct it. So yeah, he was like, yeah, I also bought the rights. So this is perfect.
That's so funny. Like, why? But they're like, yes, this is the movie.
It kind of was. Apparently one of them was saying in some of the notes I was reading, there wasn't like a ton of facts about this film other than, basically they read it and someone was like, oh, I think this would make a good Christmas movie. Cause I mean, overall the plot makes sense for a Christmas film, but I just don't think that, I mean, I hate to say it, but I don't think Chris Columbus wrote it well enough to get the point across of what I haven't read the John Grisham book. Not a huge John Grisham fan.
What else does he write?
He did, like, legal stuff.
I'm thinking of Michael Crichton. He's the one that did Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah.
Then I haven't read anything by
him. So this must be just, like, some fluff novel I feel like he must have wrote, you know, in between his, like, other stuff. But it just kind of falls flat. Like, the plot, they've kind of convoluted a little too much with certain elements, like, with the Santa guy.
Yeah,
nothing kind of wraps up. It's kind of like, it just, you know, feels
like...
It feels messy.
Yeah.
Like, it just feels a little messy. So the location scouter people, they looked in the metro area of Chicago and, like, all the way around, like, areas of Minnesota. But just because of the extreme weather conditions of snow that these real places actually have, they were like, maybe we should instead shoot in an empty location that was a parking lot of a former Boeing aircraft factory in Downey, California.
Okay.
So it's about 15 miles away from downtown Los Angeles. That's where this was filmed. They built the entire freaking neighborhood.
You're like, that's cheaper or easier than...
Yeah, than weathering real snow conditions.
Because those are like some nice-ass houses.
So basically the first 3 weeks were spent on designing the houses, and in the next 12, hundreds of carpenters, plasterers, painters built the largest exterior set ever for a movie.
Wow.
Yeah, being more than 700 feet long and including 16 houses. They called the core five, though, were the Cranks, the Frohmeyers, the Scheels, the Beckers, and the Trogdons, which he claimed did have full ground floors that were dressed that you can kind of see through the windows that they do for a couple of the, a lot of the shots. So those bottom floors were done. And then like the upstairs little scenes of the Crank's house was just soundstage stuff. Mm. So it was a very Hollywood holiday movie in that sense. The cast was estimated to have ate like 10 pounds of snow because it wasn't real snow. So they, like, ingest it when they're acting in it and stuff. Because it's, like, foam and, and cornstarch and, like...
Oh, I thought you meant, like, styrofoam.
No, no. Like, you know, soapy foam, you know, kind of stuff. But they all, like, apparently it was ingested a lot.
That's crazy.
So there was a lot of... the script... And this is another thing I'm going to point it out. Because it almost... I feel like there's this point where... And we see it really bad nowadays with, like, the really nostalgia... driven like remakes and stuff where a lot of the script has in mind of like references to the other actor's work like or you know like people now are like, ooh, it's an Easter egg, but after a while it just an Easter egg is one thing, but when you're just like kind of relying on people reminiscing about this actor's prior character, it takes you out of the film, in my opinion.
That
like,
and
it
makes
excessive.
It, and it's dated. Like, it, then you're stuck in this little time capsule. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like yeah, that's true, too. Because there was a lot of references, like, throughout the film of, like, Tim Allen's, like, previous, like, Home Improvement kind of stuff. Like, when he's bringing something up on the roof and, like... with the snowman, like, it's, like, kind of, they said was a basis off of something directly from Home Improvement that he was doing with, like, his snow decorations. And all of his Benford stuff, he always used, like, the 60, it'd be, like, the 6100 Benford power tool or this or that. And then that was the number that they made for how much they saved on their vacation or spent on, like, weird little things like that, you know, to where you're, like, okay... like, who cares?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, like, we know he was... he's Tim Allen. He's the same person in every movie, let's be honest.
Right.
The same thing with Dan Aykroyd. There were a lot of little, like, kind of one-liners or nods that were to, like, his former characters as well. To where, like I said, it feels like they're not that character then. They're just Dan Aykroyd pretending to be that character, giving you a joke about a Ghostbuster.
Right.
Because that was what one of the jokes when he's like, oh, you know anyone at Con Ed? And Aykroyd nods, yes. And that was a reference to Ghostbusters 2. So, like, there's a lot of that in it. And I just, I don't know, I feel like too many people, like, they're so into the little lore things. Like I'm a fun fact person, but then I'm like, that's dumb. Like, just fucking write a movie. You know, like, you don't have to reference, like, three other movies
like,
in the previous body of work. Like,
I can just watch something like that on YouTube then.
Yeah.
I don't have to...
I'm like, or I'm just gonna, I'll go watch Ghostbusters 2, because it was better. The soundtrack was also helped produced and supervised by American musician Steven Van Zandt of Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. He's always the guy with the bandana.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
He arranged and produced six of the tracks that were used, and it received pretty favorable reviews, actually, more than the movie.
I don't even remember any of the music anymore.
The critics were appreciating the use of garage rock as a fresh take on Christmas music. So it is like one of the ending songs it ends with. It's kind of this garage rock kind of. Even I was like, oh, that sounds like a cool kind of Christmas song. That was. I did notice that in the end, and apparently it's because of Steven Van Zandt.
Nice.
The film also received 5% on Rotten Tomatoes.
The one thing you've gotten right
so
far. Yes,
and most of the... critiques and everything was kind of the same reasons that you even said where you were like, I just remember the neighbors pissing me off.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a big thing for a lot of people where they were like the pressure of this
neighborhood
of forcing people to do Christmas like almost seems counterintuitive to the point of Christmas.
Right.
Like, yeah. So it was a lot of people's opinions on it. So you're not alone on a lot of people hate this Christmas movie. So with that, Jess is going to take it away with the You Googled Summary.
Finally alone for the holidays, Luther and Nora Crank plan to eschew the Christmas traditions and take a cruise in the Caribbean instead. This doesn't sit well with their Christmas-obsessed neighbors Vic Frohmeyer and Walt Scheel, who are determined to win the annual Best Decorated Street competition. And the Cranks soon find themselves social outcasts because of their lack of Christmas spirit.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, so fully go into, I guess, more of why did you hate this movie the first time you saw it?
Exactly the reason, the neighbors. Like, I was like, how dare you tell these people how the fuck they should celebrate their Christmas? What if they're Jewish? Mm-hmm. What if they just don't fucking want to celebrate?
Yeah. What if they, but I guess the whole thing is, if it were something simple, they would tell them, like, we are experiencing financial hardship.
Yeah, because it's nobody's business. It is not your fucking business what these people do with their Christmas. And if they are not going to be there, why should they have to pay for all this shit? And then I was like, I feel like everybody's nickel and diming them. Anyway. Like, y'all care about Christmas just to get donations for everything.
You're not wrong. My memories of this were a little more pleasant, actually. I do remember when it first came out watching it. I was in high school. And so we're like, Tim Allen. Because, I mean, he makes... It's so funny because Tim Allen is such a dick and he's just such a big part of my childhood, though.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's the same person in every movie, whether it's Jungle to Jungle from our childhood that I watched. He's the same kind of, he's this grumpy guy who ends up turning, turns over a new leaf. So this obviously was no different. So I guess I never had, huge expectations. Like, I was like, it was going to be a stupid Tim Allen movie. And I do remember Dan Aykroyd's character really bothering me.
I don't even remember Dan Aykroyd being in this.
That's so funny, because that was what I remembered was the neighbors being a little too pushy. And then I remember I didn't like the character of Blair, or, the idea of their daughter.
Right.
She's, this pedestaled,
yes,
perfect, person, and I don't know. It just felt so, disingenuous or whatever. I remember not being real big on that either, but I remember ultimately always thinking Jamie Lee Curtis and some of the, because it had outlandish, that was the whole thing, it's supposed to be outlandish is how I always took it, right? To where I'm like, the Frosty and them begging for it, but I didn't watch it super often, right? So for me I was like, it was whatever, it's a whatever Christmas movie, it had some funny parts. But yeah, this watch around, we'll go ahead and let's just get into it, shall we?
Yes we shall.
So watching it more objectively this time around, I will say that I still find the part funny when he looks like the George Hamilton guy with the Botox and it's a silly, stupid scene.
That was
it
funny.
Does genuinely make me chuckle, though.
The him trying to eat the peaches. And I was like, were they at an old folks home at that scene? Where the fuck were they?
It's a weird mall they have
that you're eating
at,
peaches? They're canned peaches. Why are you eating that for lunch? They're supposed to be old men. Oh, they're so old. I'm like, aren't they supposed to be in their 40s?
That's what I meant. Because they were talking about them being they're going into middle age. But I'm like, no, they're older than middle age, though.
But I'm like, how old are they supposed to be?
Middle age to me is 35 to 40. I felt like they were supposed to be, in their 50s.
That's what I thought, but this was 20-something years ago. I'm like, Tim Allen is just now in his 60s, isn't he?
I don't know. No, Jamie Lee Curtis is in her 70s, though, I'm pretty positive.
Oh, okay. So I guess they were in their 50s.
Yeah,
okay,
so...
that makes more sense.
But it does, though... Yeah, and their kid's, 23. So if they were, in their mid-20s when they had their kid, that would check out then, probably. Yeah,
I guess because they were treating her like she was just going off to college.
That is what I misremembered. I thought she was a college student, and it was a whole thing, and I was like, oh yeah, I totally forgot the Peace Corps thing. And that's, again, where they're she's so perfect.
And she only went for 4 weeks?
Yes, it's 6 weeks, because literally the movie begins with them being really upset, and then she's going to...
into the Peace Corps.
The Peace Corps, and getting stationed in South America. And then... she's like, I'll see you next Christmas. She's going to be gone a whole year.
Right.
And it's the day after Thanksgiving when she leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's literally been 6 weeks. And then, the day of Christmas Eve?
Yes,
is when she
Christmas
calls them?
Eve is when she calls them and says, they're coming into town for the Christmas Eve party.
She met a guy. Oh, my God.
They went to Brown together.
Oh, is that what they said?
She said they went to Brown together when he was going to be a doctor, because he's a doctor. But what is she?
I completely zoned out.
Yeah, when
on
she was
that,
on the
I
phone,
guess.
She said, we went to Brown together. Remember, and you kept calling him Rick.
Oh, I don't remember. Okay, I must have completely...
But then they said, oh, it's nice to meet you. So I guess they didn't know him. I don't know. The whole thing was weird.
Yeah, because that's, again, because Tim Allen and later, because he's grumpy, basically.
But they still fell in love within 4 weeks.
Yeah, because he even says, he was like, I planned this vacation longer than she's been dating
this
guy. Yes,
exactly.
And he says that at one point. And that is where he's a curmudgeon throughout this film, but I agree with him there.
Yes,
I'm like,
exactly.
Bitch, you've been with this boy for 4 fucking weeks, and you're taking him home from South America for Christmas? Because she even says, how do they go to Brown when he says he's never been and had a real American Christmas?
Right.
So that doesn't make any sense either.
Yeah,
then.
Scammer.
So, yeah. So it's just super, to me, that's weird. Like, I think if you meet someone, you don't invite them to your holidays till after a year that you've
been.
Well,
they're already engaged.
Like, it's crazy. Well, they only say boyfriend, though. She's just acting like, oh, he might be the one, and he wants lots of babies. Like, I just,
yeah.
It was super.
And I didn't like that either.
It was super disturbing, because that's right at the beginning. That all that is with her. Oh, I guess it's not at the beginning.
No, that was at the end.
But it's in the middle. No, it's actually more towards the middle, because, yeah, you get the beginning, she leaves, and then that's when Tim Allen gets the brilliant idea of skipping Christmas, because he sees, like, a travel agent thing when, like, Jamie Lee Curtis being a bitch, making him run in and out of the store, getting rained on for, like, white chocolate and pistachios. And he gets rained on, and there's, like, a Santa guy there going, like, don't you want an umbrella? Which is, like, foreshadowing that he shows up later for literally no reason.
For no reason, but stop the robber who was stealing her jewelry.
It looked like costume jewelry.
Yeah. Like, oh, wow, thank God you were here for that.
Like, yeah, that was the big Santa thing?
Yeah.
Like, oh, the secret Santa guy was actually, I don't know.
He was the Christmas miracle bringing everybody together.
Yeah, so they bring him in the beginning, but yeah, throughout the entire movie, he has a no bearing literally on anything else with having to do with anything.
And he just brings them together so they can sing that Spanish Christmas song.
Yeah, which was weird to also be thrown in there. It's like little flute, like, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? I had no recollection of any of the party scenes almost.
Yeah.
When I was watching it this time around, we were getting to the part where, like I said, yeah, the neighbors have already bullied them. They're basically boycotting Christmas. I felt like they came across it in a normal manner. Like, he wrote notes to people. Like,
right.
He told them, we don't care. Like, we're still, like, Merry Christmas. But, like, we're saving our money and doing a cruise because Blair's gone.
Yeah.
And they know these people. They
exactly.
know their family.
And they, like, know how close they are with their daughter and that, like, Christmas isn't going to be the same.
Yeah. And so it is a weird pushback. Like, but also, it's not as pushing as I remembered necessarily, because even Dan Aykroyd in some of the scenes, then I realized, because he was like, we'll put it out for you. We just want to help, you know, like, we want the neighborhood to win the competition. Like,
right.
To where I'm like, well, just let him do that then, too. Like, if you guys were such a community.
But he can't, because even at the end of the movie, he's still like,
Yeah.
Ditto, me too.
Yeah.
Me times 100 or whatever the fuck he said.
Like, everyone just
can't say thank you.
For this to be a Christmas movie, it really does lack, like, holiday spirit. Like, from everybody.
Right.
In all of these situations.
All of the wrong holiday spirit.
Yeah, it's like all of the wrong holiday spirit. It's like pressure. And then I do like the beginning, because when she was even like, well, we'll still do our charitable donations. Because I can understand this is a big time when a lot of charities and people who are in, you know, like, he's supposed to be a lawyer. So you're like a higher economic class.
Couldn't tell by that car.
Yeah. But that's where I was like, they're kind of mid, I think.
Right.
Like, because her car was older and like, but I'm like, if you can spend $6,000 on Christmas, you ain't doing bad.
Exactly. Like, who the fuck spends $6,000 on Christmas?
That was crazy.
Like, maybe if
me.
They weren't nickel and diming you for every goddamn thing, fucking calendar here, fucking
yeah.
I was like, Christmas tree. Who comes to your door selling Christmas trees?
I know, and
that's crazy.
That's another one of those where it's like, oh, it's, you know, that neighborhood or community or
yeah,
wherever
they live.
Yeah,
what if I wanted to go pick out my own tree? What if I wanted to go chop down my own tree?
I know.
That's frowned upon.
It was a lot.
Not allowed to do that.
Peer pressure. And basically,
HOA
though,
bullshit.
It ends with them succumbing to the peer pressure.
Because that's what community's all about.
And there felt like there really was no, I felt like there was no story. Like, really, they try to end it up with, like, oh, he ends up giving the cruise because Blair ends up coming to decide, like, not to tell her. That's enough. I'm like,
and why not? She's a grown-ass woman.
All these people have really terrible communication skills,
yeah.
Really. Like, Because I'm like, just tell your daughter. Like, she is not this fucking, she is not Jesus. Yeah. Like, I feel like in this movie, Blair was Jesus, and they're all coming to the altar to worship her.
Right.
Like, it's, oh, like, it's Blair.
To me, it felt like Rory.
Yes. 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 Like, where they're really not that great, but everyone, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm like, who the fuck cares? Some 23-year-old bitch went to the Peace Corps. Like,
she used to babysit a couple of y'all's kids. Not everybody. Not everybody knows who she is, but
yeah,
she babysat your kid. So
it just seems so weird.
Give up your whole holiday.
Weird. Yeah. It's really weird, the connections. And then the, I was wanting, at least, like, thinking, oh, maybe the neighbors would get a little taste of their own medicine, too.
No,
they don't get any kind of,
they get their
lesson
ultimate,
or
yeah,
anything, you know. Oh, well, I guess other than they're like, oh, we're putting aside our hatred for this man to help him for his Jesus daughter.
Yeah.
But it is a weird vibe watching it this time
and
around.
The pervy fucking father, like the priest guy, checking out her tits the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're in a tanning salon, people. Like, that's allowed.
Yeah.
Why is that frowned upon?
I know.
That's not a
sin.
Just
because it's like, oh, you're in a tanning salon at Christmas and not buying things for other people. Like, it still felt so much like, yeah, it was about just money, too.
Yeah.
And, or items and material.
Because they kept saying, it's not about the money.
Yeah.
So what if it is about the money? What then?
But yeah, everyone was kind of annoying in it.
And I did not like the whole giving that couple the cruise thing. Because A, she's had cancer for like the third time. You think she feels like going on a fucking cruise? B, it leaves at 9 o'clock in the morning. You've literally given them 8 hours notice to go on this fucking thing. I was like, I'd be pissed. And then he's like pressuring them in to do it. Like, no, do it. You got to do it. Here, take the cruise. What if I don't want to fucking want to? What if I don't want to go in 8 hours?
I feel like this movie's point was like, caved to peer pressure.
Yes.
Yeah, and I didn't like that vibe at all. And I always remember liking, I'm like, oh, Jamie Lee Curtis kind of made the movie more fun. And then even watching this time around, like, she does a good job of being this kind of repressed, like, run-of-the-mill suburban mom, I mm-hmm. guess. You know, like, in the beginning when he's going to make the proposition of let's skip Christmas and do a cruise, like, she at first thinks he's going to, like, take her on the table.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, little things like that were funny throughout it. But, yeah, like, the overall arching thing, because it is a Christmas movie, it just really lacked the heart, like,
yeah, for
overall.
Sure.
And yeah, like I said, then they give, and the guy's been such a dick to him all the time. And then they're even like, she can't make it across the street because of the snow because she has cancer. I don't know, but she can go to a cruise. Like,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, how bad off is this lady or not? Like,
and people just love people looking in through their windows in this
neighborhood.
They
really did. So, yeah, the first half of the movie, you just get kind of that aggravation. It's supposed to be them trying to ignore and her basically trying not to, like, dip into temptation of participating in anything Christmas-like.
Right.
And having, like, slight little meltdowns.
Trying to outrun Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
I was like, this feels illegal.
I know. Oh, but then even then, I'm like, well, the guy wasn't requesting to, like, he's just like, oh, let us put it up for you. Like, and then ultimately I'm like, well, the neighbors are being peer pressure-y. They are, but they aren't as bad as I remembered them being either. It was mostly the kid who's supposed to be annoying is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm watching it this time, I'm like, oh, it's mainly the son who's, like, just joking around with them and stuff. And then he enlists his help later when they find out Blair's coming. Even, like, getting the neighbor's tree. Like, that scene was kind of just stupid because then other people are like, oh, you need another tree. And then they, like, redecorate another tree anyway.
Exactly.
So I'm like, what was the point of that scene? Let's be honest. Like,
oh, because that way you can get arrested for stealing a tree.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, oh, and that's why the cops are there. There
yeah.
we go. That's the setup for that. Because then they have way too long of a scene of basically Dan Aykroyd blackmailing the police because he's so well connected. When I was reading some facts, though, someone was saying that Dan Aykroyd's character is supposed to be a college professor. I'm like,
what?
Why does he have that much pull if he's just a college professor?
Right.
Like, that seems weird. Even weirder now
yeah.
reading that. So
like,
I thought he was going to be like a Teamster guy or like, you know, like he works for a union. He's a union man. And
yeah.
But like, that was the vibe I got.
I thought he was supposed to be like some kind of retired senator or something.
Yeah. Like, he has, like, a command. Like, he seems like he's supposed to be kind of, like, the neighborhood leader almost.
Right.
But then I'm like, oh, he's just a college professor. Like, that, like, that seems odd that he could boss around
and
police guys saying he
yeah.
could call the chief of police. Like, yeah, it that seemed weird. But, again, pressuring someone, these cops who are like, I don't think we can do that. Like, so they make the cops go pick up Blair from the airport while they're mad.
Being
dashing.
Chauffeur.
Yeah, trying to get this together. And then they make up a fake thing to delay because they were needed more time. And then they actually stumble across a real burglar. But, like, again, it's not anything high stakes. They show him, and then they show him, like, once or twice in the house, like, stealing stuff.
But for what?
For what?
Like,
there's,
why?
There's still
What's
really
the point?
No, yeah, there's no lesson really, like, except for the Santa. Like, all of, you set up a burglar and this thing to pick up Blair.
Just so Santa
so,
can hit him with
so
an umbrella?
So a guy can steal some costume jewelry and Santa hits him with an umbrella and then it still has nothing to do with the overall theme or, like, how, like,
you need an umbrella. Ta-da.
Like, now, yeah, like, so watching it this time and taking it apart, and like, you're right, this movie does suck.
It's fucking terrible. Like, Christmas is an umbrella.
And again, the Christmas party, when they get there, a little unhinged with a little, like, flute thing. Like, it was just weird.
It was all weird.
It was very weird. And yeah, it basically ends, though, with, yeah, him, like, doing a selfless act and being like, it's okay, I'm not going to pout anymore about the cruise. And
I'm like, if you literally spend $6,000 on Christmas, you saved $3,000, you could get two cruises. So I don't understand why he's being a crybaby anyway. Like, obviously you can afford all this.
I mean, right? Just go in January.
Yeah.
Or I'm like, or you could have just been called your daughter and been like, bitch, we thought you were going to be gone for a year. We booked a cruise.
Yeah,
like,
you can't.
Stay there.
Stay
or,
the fuck where you're
or
at.
Or come hang out with the Frohmeyers.
Right. You can come use the house.
I don't know. It's just like weird.
Especially
dynamics.
When she was 23 years old. That's
yeah.
what I was like.
Because it sounds like to join the Peace Corps, you have to have a college degree. So that means
right.
she's already done the college
right.
thing. Like, and
so
even,
she's probably been gone a couple. She's never missed a Christmas.
Apparently not. So, yeah. I was
sorry,
like,
your daughter's lame.
So.
And then
yeah.
when she was like, and he wants to have lots of babies. I'm like, so what about Peace Corps? Like, that's just over with now. You did it for 4 weeks and you're like, good.
Yeah. Again,
I met my man. That's what I wanted to go for.
Everyone's priority seemed like all over the place and weird and like, oh, it should be about Christmas, but then it should be about this. And it falls flat. You're right. I take it back when I was like, oh, I don't mind that one. I still will probably watch it again sometime because it is still not the worst I've seen. In terms of, like I said, I still did, like, certain jokes in it or whatever.
There was,
it would be in, like, five Christmases from now. I'll be like, oh, I'll put that one on
yeah,
one day.
Right.
You know?
It was still as bad as I remember.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because there was a certain scenes that I still laughed at.
Mm-hmm.
Like the, like you said, the Tony, not Tony Hamilton. What was it? What's the tan guy?
Oh, I said it earlier.
The Hamilton man. With the Botox and thing when he's trying to peaches. That one,
yeah.
yeah
it still makes me
yeah,
giggle.
That
yeah,
giggle.
That one made me giggle.
There was another scene that made me giggle. Obviously, it wasn't that funny because I can't remember it now. Oh, that's what I thought was funny. I wore black to make me look lighter.
Oh, yeah. It's so random.
Like, are you, did you get
like,
a tan? No, I wore black to make me look lighter.
She's like, okay. Oh, and she winked. Far too much when her boyfriend is singing that song with all of the people.
The
and
daughter?
She's like, yeah, and she's like in the group and she's like watching him and then she'll be like, wink. Oh, here's another little wink.
I didn't notice
here's
that.
Another little smile and wink. And it was really annoying.
That's
so
funny, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
It was nice to see Cheech in something.
Yeah.
I liked him in there.
Mm-hmm. They had him playing the guitar during the little.
Yeah. And Jake Busey. I was like, oh, he can play Spanish guitar too. That's cool.
Isn't one of them in Power Man 5000? But that's a different set. That's the Offspring's guy brother.
Oh,
and they do
they got
kinda
the big
look
teeth.
Like
yeah.
the Busey's to me.
They got the mouth. The Busey mouth.
I like Jim and Dane sausages. Have you never seen that interview? It's with their dad, the older
Gary
Busey. And it's when he's all like later, and he's older, and he's all crazy looking. And he's like, I like Jim and Dean's sausages. I'll have to show it to you later. It's so funny. It cracks me up every time. So, yeah, this is one that I may revisit later, but it definitely, like I said, watching it more objectively this time around, and more fully, too, kind of, because this is one I would put on and, you know, oh, maybe I'd be doing something else or chatting,
right.
Whatever, like, background. I'm wrapping my Christmas presents, like, something, so, yeah. I know I'm like, oh, I wonder how Miracle on 34th Street is going to be, because that one I really have no recollections of, because I always avoided it after hating it so much when I was a kid, so...
It'll be like a first watch.
It really will
for
be.
For me, too.
Yeah, I feel like. So that'll be fun. That was Christmas with the Cranks, guys.
That was Christmas with the Cranks.
And as always, guys, you can find us at Film Gazers on the social meds. And remember, we do have a Redbubble now. So you can find us Film Gazers on Redbubble. And on another exciting front, Jess has gone through all the trouble of setting us up with a buymeacoffee.com account. And it's kind of cool. So this is a way for any of you that want to contribute. We're starting to like trying to monetize a little bit so we can just put more into this for you guys as well, you know. So if we want to do any of those extras, like we got to come up with ways to help fund that sometimes. So if you like what you're hearing and you want to hear a little more, go check out buymeacoffee.com/filmgazers. And ours is actually called Buy Me a Popcorn. And that is adorable. So go ahead and expand on that a little bit for us, Jess.
So for the price of a movie ticket, you can support Film Gazers and buy us a popcorn. And we also have memberships set up on there. For $5 a month, you can become a popcorn pal and you get freebies, shout outs, etc. For $8 a month, you can be part of the VHS vault and then you get freebies, digital download exclusives, early access, and bonus episodes.
Ooh, fun.
But we would appreciate any support you would like to give us.
Yes, because we will start doing those things if anybody signs up for them.
Yes, until then, I'm not going to waste my time. So once again, that was buymeacoffee.com/filmgazers.
Well, time to hit the dusty trail.
Until next time.
Later, taters.
Nailed it.